Some years ago, a friend of mine went back to his alma mater, the Seminary of the South. He went there for a visit. And while he was there, Bill Griffin, the man who had taught him to study and understand the Old Testament, suddenly died. Unexpectedly, he died of a heart attack. In the days that followed, former students and colleagues began to pour into Suwanee from all over the country. As my friend Mark Jenkins tells it, Bill had been the sort of man who inspired incredible fear and loathing among his students. He was abrupt, he was loud, he was bombastic. He had very clear rules. He always wanted to be called Mr. Griffith, not doctor, because he didn't have a PhD, and certainly not Father Griffith. Only after you had finished the first semester could you call him by his first name, Bill. Some students never got past that. Mr. Griffith, they'd call him, either because they had dropped out of his course, or because they couldn't pass it, or simply because he scared them so much that they just couldn't get over it. So, at any rate, when Bill died, students and colleagues, those who loved Bill, and those who feared him or even hated him alike, converged on the mountaintop, that is, Suwanee. And they all came to pay their last respects. Members of Mark's class sat together in that beautiful All Saints Chapel for a magnificent burial office. And then the entire congregation processed down the middle of the street to the cemetery, following in procession after Bill's casket, where more than 500 people took turns casting handfuls of dirt on his grave until at last the hole was filled and the committal service ended. As Mark recounts it to me, it was an incredible procession, a mixture of sadness and joy, of despair and hope, a dirge and a celebration all mixed together in one inseparable body. Well, for some reason, when I looked at the gospel this morning, when Jesus encounters another funeral procession, I thought of that scene that Mark told me. Here, Jesus is traveling from town to town, an itinerant peasant who's beginning to get a reputation for healing. He arrives at that village, Nain, with a large crowd accompanying him. He approaches the village gate, and there he meets this procession. Now, it's good to note that the village gate, in Jewish practice and at this time, is the place where the elders would gather. And the elders gathered there in order to grant justice for those who had been treated wrongly and approached those elders for assistance. It's that gate where Jesus encounters this woman, a woman whose only son was being carried out for burial. The mother was a widow, we're told. It's also important to note that this woman is a widow. And if that's not bad enough, now she's a widow whose only son, whose only male relative, has died. In Jesus' time, in that culture, things don't get much worse than this. I mean, there are a lot of commandments in the Torah regarding showing kindness and charity to widows and orphans, like the one we heard in this morning's psalm, Psalm 146. But look at it this way. If those commandments were regularly followed, why did the village elders have to even sit at the gate in order to pronounce justice? If they were followed, why did they need judges? And clearly, people didn't carefully follow those scriptural imperatives about justice for the widow and the orphan and the stranger. So it's little wonder when Jesus saw this woman, he had compassion for her. Literally, you can read that, it broke his heart. What happens next was enough to shock even the most jaded member of their community. Jesus walks over to the funeral pyre and touches it. He touches a coffin, an act that would have made him ritually unclean. Now, granted, it's not the end of the world to become unclean. It's really only the beginning of the end of the world. Because if that doesn't surprise enough, the next thing he does is he tells the dead widow's son, or the dead son of the widow, to get up. And the dead son gets up and starts talking. Now, this actually leads me back to that scene that made me think of Mark's recollection of Bill Griffin's funeral, as well as other funerals like those held in New Orleans that we've seen films of or maybe even participated in. Because at this point, all heaven breaks loose. Because from this point forward, this large group of people following Jesus and the group in the funeral procession all merge. They come together, just like that jazz procession in New Orleans, just like that procession in Suwannee. I can see them in my mind's eye, moving from the raising of a man into sort of a joyful celebration, gracefully calling back and forth to themselves. God is back, looking to the needs of the people. Or even singing this morning's song. Alleluia, praise the Lord. O my soul, I will praise the Lord as long as I live. The Lord loves the righteous and cares for the stranger, the orphan, and this widow. And there it is. That's the core message of this story. It's really not only about a son coming back from the dead. The real point of the story can be summed up in the words of the crowd. God is back, looking for the needs of God's people. This story is ultimately a story about justice. Justice at the gate. About God being present for God's people no matter what their circumstance. It's a story about a woman living in society that promoted justice and security for widows, even as they ignored them and left them to die in the streets. It's a story about how God does not and will not turn away from the poor, the outcasts, and the stranger. It's a story about how there's nothing that can cut us off, can separate us from God's love, God's compassion, God's justice, nothing, not even death itself. And that is worth celebrating. That's something worth pulling out the colorful umbrellas and marching down the street singing. That's something worth dancing over, even in the face of death. But you know, the church can't just celebrate that, can't just dance. It can't just talk the talk. Because we're supposed to be ourselves those at the gate. We are called to be that community of justice that isn't willing to sit back and let widows and orphans and strangers or anyone else be trampled under.